Well, more preach. If we don't have an amplifier, how are you going to hear me?
Somebody give me a stone.
He's got a built-in amplifier.
Oh, me. Well, Larry, it's just been a good day for you so far, you know?
I'm going to play it again when you're through. And I'll bet it runs right through.
Well, it probably will, but we're going to go on.
You go right ahead.
I like the song, though, Steph. That's great. Give me a stone. Man, this is good, simple lyrics and good, simple story. And believe me, everybody needs a stone to get through the day. Y'all, believe me, we got giants in our way. Wherever we go, whatever we do, somebody's trying to put us down, run over us, talk us down, get us depressed, get us hurt. Satan is having a field day. Believe me, with a stone and a sling and God's help, we can take care of the giants. Right? Give the Lord a hand of applause and he's out. Continue our preaching from the Gospel of John. Always remember that Jesus can take the simplest of things and make a point. And he's going to do that today to try to illustrate to us how we are to be tied with him just as he is tied with God the Father. And if we are attached to him, tied to him, part of the family of God, joined together, we can do all things. But if we're not, we're in a hurt. And we have to decide sometimes, are we really part of God and his family, or are we not? It's a black and white issue. There's not a gray area here. Either you're saved or you're not. Either you're part of God's family, or you're not. Now, if we're part of God's family, this illustration that we're going to get into says that we truly are to act like a Christian, and in that, we reach out to people, and when we do, people come to know Jesus as we reach out to people, as we live our lives before them. Let's take a look how he explains it. All right, here we go. Chapter of John, verse 1 through 8, Jesus says, and Jesus is speaking, I am the true vine, and my Father is, let's just say, the farmer. Okay? Alright? Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he cleanses it. Some says prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word which I have spoken unto you. I am the true vine. And my Father is the gardener. He's the boss. Let's look and see how it speaks to us. Every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Father, bless these words. May we understand, Father, our role as a Christian. May we truly understand, Father, what you've called us to do. Father, may we understand how much we need Jesus every day. Father, Satan will try to tear us up. Try to convict us. Try to tell us that we're useless. Father, through the grace of God, we can experience the love of Jesus. And in that, it changes our lives. It makes us useful. Father, may we truly be useful for Jesus. In that precious and holy name we pray. And everyone said?
Amen.
Now, look at verse 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit. Now, that's a real fancy way of saying everybody that doesn't act in accordance to God's word, okay, which means everyone, just because I say I'm a Christian does not make me a Christian. Just because I come to church, and I'm glad that you're here, but this church cannot save you. Churches don't save people. Churches is where you go to worship God, but the church has nothing to do with your salvation. Salvation comes in your faith and your belief in something, and that belief is in Jesus Christ. When we believe in Him as our Lord and Savior, and when I say we believe in Him, we believe in His death. Before that, we believe in His life. And before that, we believe in the virgin birth. And before that, we believe He's always been in existence. So when we believe in Jesus Christ, then the Bible says that we are saved. Now, Jesus knows His audience. He's always got these religious leaders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the Jewish sect of people who have been trying to condemn Him for a long time. He's always listening to them because they think they're a real holy group of people, sanctified group of people. And it just about makes Jesus sick. So He says, let me tell you a story here. Everybody in that time in biblical history knows all about grapes. That's how they made wine. And wine was the big drink at that time. Back then, you didn't drink the water much over there because it wasn't too purified. So wine was the drink of the day in Jesus' day. So grapes, and everybody knew what it meant to grow grapes. So He uses this story. And He uses this analogy because He knows they'll understand it. So He says, every branch of me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. Cuts it. Now, Monica works in our landscaping. I do the yard thing, she does the landscaping thing. When it's dead, it comes out. If it don't get enough water, if it gets too much sun, once it turns brown, didn't have a good root system, it's dead. It's useless. It's ugly. So what do we do with it? We pull it out. We throw it away. You know what we do? Who wants to keep something ugly around? Right?
I do.
Yeah. Nobody wants that, so you dig it up. You do away with it because it's dead. But He says, every branch that beareth fruit, He cleanses it. Some would say purge it. Now, what a lot of people would do, if you're in the garden, or if you're in the landscape, a lot of times for something to really grow good, you have to cut it back. Right? And you shape it the way that you want to. And Monica loves this. I mean, she gets those hedge trimmers I'm sorry, I just brought that up. Marshall, bless her heart, has got a new hand because of clippers. But Monica loves to get those, what do you call these things? Yeah, but you got another thing.
Loppers.
I don't know why they call them loppers. They're just a big pair of scissors to me. But anyway, she goes to town and she trims them up and gets them to look the way she wants them. And man, as soon as she trims them things back, they start growing. Crazy. Same thing with a tree. Same thing with anything. Sometimes you have to sort of cut it back a little bit in order for it to grow. You get the picture? Alright, now keeping all that in mind, let's look at verse 2 again. So every branch of me that beareth not fruit, I'm just going to cut it out. In other words, it's useless to me. So if we're useless to God, one day He's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. And believe me, there are people who have every opportunity under this planet to accept Jesus Christ. Had multiple opportunities and continually turned their back on God and Jesus. And He says, one day I'm going to say to them, Depart from me, I never knew you. Those in our Sunday school class were studying that in the book of Revelation. We just went over that. It's called the Great White Throne toward the end of it. Now let me tell you something, folks. The worst thing on this planet that you'll ever, ever hear is depart from me, I never knew you. You never want to hear those words from God. Because where he's sending you to is a place called hell, called Hades. And it's a place where God is not. And believe me, you want no part of that. That's one group. And in every branch that beareth fruit, let's cut it back a little bit that it may bear more fruit. Now let me tell you how that speaks to me. I don't know why I have to deal with some of the stuff that I have to deal with. But I have to deal with it. I got all kinds of illnesses. I've got all kinds of problems. And I don't know why I've had to deal with that. But in the long run, because of the health issues that I've had to deal with, it's actually made me a stronger person. You get that? Sometimes when I have problems in life, and I get on the other side of that problem, whatever that problem may be, it makes me a stronger person. Which means sometimes God is going to see that we have a problem or two. Life is not perfect, nor will it ever be perfect. But we have to learn to depend upon God even when life throws us curves. Understand that. Because life's going to do that to you. I mean, it's the stuff that you have to deal with. But the thing about it is, with all that's wrong with me, and one of the things that really, that I don't like, is I really have to watch what I eat now. Of course, I've lost a lot of weight, and that's a good thing. Also, the timing of when I eat. Okay? I'm not really supposed to eat anything after 5 o'clock. If I do, I'll pay the price for it. The reason for that is, when I hook up to this cycler, this computer, at night, it puts a lot of fluid in me. And if my belly's already full, and it puts all that fluid in me, I mean, it puts 2 or 3 pounds of fluid in me at one time. I can actually just see my stomach swell out to here. So if I've already got a bunch of food in there, I am one miserable individual. Last night, you would think, being around a good group of friends that I was around, I went to a retirement party for a good friend of mine at Bob Hope Chevrolet. Y'all know back in the day, I used to sell cars. Don't hold that against me. It was a wild time in my life back then. But through that organization, I've gained a lot of friends, done a lot of funerals, a lot of weddings, and I've had a chance to really develop friendships. And this is one of the best friends I got on the planet. And this man, we go back 30 years, and that's where we met, Bob Hope Chevrolet. Now, understanding, they're all just shoving their faces with food. This one here especially. eating, they had all kinds. I mean, when the Hook family puts on a spread, these people got a little money. So, I mean, they got it all out there, anything that you want, all the, you know, the cake you can eat and everything. They even had fried potatoes and had wings and you name it. They had it there all laid out there, you know. And everybody's just digging in, and I'm just sitting there. Mr. Sire says, aren't you going to eat? I said, no, I can't eat after 5 o'clock. You know that, Rick. I would think that some people would have a little respect for me and maybe not eat in front of me. He said, baby, you're in the wrong group. These are car salesmen, baby. They're going to eat until, you know, it's gone. So you can forget that. You're in the wrong group. There ain't no sympathy with this group. This ain't no church here, baby. I can tell you that right now. So, but you know, you learn to adapt with whatever life throws at you. And you'll be surprised what life throws at us. But when we overcome that, then we can become a greater witness for God. Because we can say, hey, life ain't been perfect to me. But because, I deal with whatever I deal with, I'm not blaming God. I'm not running from God. I run to God. And there's a big difference. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Verse 3, he said that you're already clean. I've already pruned you back because of the word which I've spoken unto you. In other words, I've already am molding you, shaping you. And even when you're having a bad day, or a bad week, or something has happened to you, or a situation has come up, or your health has gone a little bad, or your job's gone nuts, or your kids are crazy, or your spouse is crazy, or everybody's crazy around you. Okay? Sometimes that's the way it looks to me. The world's gone crazy. But understand this. I am still in control. Lean on me. Read my word. Pray. And let me lead your life. And even if it looks like it's dark ahead, you let me lead the way. And I will lead you through the darkness to the light. If you will follow me. Okay? You get that? You get that? Believe me, Satan wants you in the dark. And he wants you miserable. He wants you upset. And he wants you just involved in sin as deep as you can get. But Jesus will show you because he is the way, the truth, and the life. You understand that? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, Larry, here we go. Abide in me and I in you. This is a relationship. Jesus and I have a relationship because I believe in him and he died for me. That makes for a pretty good relationship. And plus, he's also got a wonderful place set aside for me. In our Sunday school class, our men have really been studying this. What this new heaven and new earth and all the streets of God. Oh my goodness, this is going to be beautiful. I understand heaven is a prepared place for what? Prepared people. Always keep that in mind. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. So neither can you, except you abide in me. You're not going to make it in life unless you hang on to me. I don't care if you can be successful all you want to. You have all the money on the planet, have all the possessions in the world. But when you take that last breath, you ain't taking a thing out of this world with you. You ain't taking your bank account. You ain't taking your money. You ain't taking your cars. You ain't taking your home. You ain't taking nothing. The only thing that you're taking out of this world is whether you believe in Jesus Christ or not. Now that is it. Understand, you want to leave this world with Jesus. You understand that? Let's give the Lord a hand of applause. And I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same beareth much fruit. For apart from me, you can do what?
Nothing.
And that's the God's honest truth. I mean, on the days that I leave God out of my life, it is horrible. I am useless. I have a temper. Things don't go right. Because I somehow or another have made the choice to leave God out of that day. And sometimes life gets busy. Lord knows it gets busy. Okay? Even if you're retired, it gets busy. I don't know how many people have said, I don't know how I had time to work. So I don't care whether you're retired, whether you work, whether you got 2 jobs, 10 jobs, I don't care what you got. Life is busy. Now, Satan loves for you to get so busy that you leave God completely out. Don't get that way. Don't do that. Slow down enough to take a deep breath. Make sure that God takes every step with you. Make sure whatever decisions you make, you bring God in on that decision making. Because if you don't, you're going to pay the price for it. I promise you, you will pay the price. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, I in him, the same beareth much fruit. Now, let me make something clear in my understanding. This does not mean that the fruit here is the people I bring to church with me. There's just a lot of people that don't know how to witness. There's a lot of people that says, well, I don't know that I've ever invited anybody to church. This beareth much fruit is the life that you live. That's the fruit. Do you understand that? That's the fruit. What do people see in you? How you talk, how you walk, where you go, what you do, how you act under stress. It's all about that. Because my lifestyle is my witness. Not because I know the Bible. I need to know the Bible. I need to study the Bible. But my lifestyle is my witness. Okay? It really is. What I'm about. What I am. And it doesn't mean that I don't. Or I'm not allowed to hang around sinners. For goodness sakes, who ever heard the like? Don't be so stuck up on yourself that you're better than everybody else. That's silly. Jesus spent more time with sinners than he did with saints. Do you understand that? Don't be stuck up. Don't act holier than thou. Now act like a Christian. Watch what you say. Watch what you do. But don't walk around like you're better than anybody else. You're not. You put your pants on just like anybody else does. And if you want to turn the world off to Jesus Christ, go around and act like you're holy and see where that gets you. The reason that I've had the relationship that I've had with hundreds of people through the years at Bob Hope Chevrolet, oh, they know me as a minister, they tease me about that and all that kind of stuff, but I don't go in there with a 10-pound Bible or a 20-pound cross. I go in there as Roger Hodge, and that's what they respect. Some of them don't clean their language up. Some of them drink in front of me. And I don't care. I don't have to. Okay? But I ain't going to disown these people. These are good people. You got family the same way. I got family that don't go to church. They're not Christian people, but I don't disown them. If they don't see Jesus in me, where are they going to see it? Make sense? Believe me. Jesus hung around some characters, people. But the characters that he hung around later on in life ended up giving their lives for Jesus. You look at every one of the disciples. These people were a piece of work. And yet, he touched their lives. People understand when you care and when you're not a phony. And who you are and what you do. Jesus was the master of being with people and making them feel at home. And when you acted holy around Jesus, he didn't let you get away with it. Because believe me, the Pharisees and Sadducees, they tried to show him up. All they did was show their high end. So understand this. You know, it's all about a grace. I'm simply saved by grace. I ain't no better than anybody else in any way, shape, or form. Okay? I'm just a sinner like everybody else. But I am a sinner saved by grace because I believe in Jesus Christ. Give the Lord a hand of applause. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. In other words, verse 6 means you're useless to Jesus because you deny him. You want nothing to do with him. You don't care about him. You don't believe in him. Or you mock him. Or you don't take it seriously. You're going to wither. You're going to wither away. And how pathetic and pitiful that is. And believe me, I hate to put it in this term, but it really is this way. We've got a church full of people on this planet that's withering away. But somehow or another, they've got it all confused. We need to understand, folks, it's all about Jesus Christ. It really is. You know, it's not about a preacher. It's not about a church. It's about Jesus Christ and how you believe in him. Yeah, church is important. Believe me, it's important. You need to go to church, and you need to be around church people. If you're watching me by the internet, you find you a good church home. You get in there with people who love you. It's fortune. But again, the only thing that saves us is Jesus Christ. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatsoever you will, and it shall be done unto you. Now, that sounds like, wow, you mean I can ask God for anything and I'll get it? That's not what that says. That's not what that says. Number one, if you abide in me, if I abide in God, it's not what I want. It's what God wants for me. Big difference. Okay? Big difference. Everything that I have and everything that I own is because of God's grace and gift to me. It don't belong to me. It belongs to the Lord. That's why I believe solely in tithing. That's why I believe in giving. Because, folks, he can take it away just as fast as I've got it. I promise you, whatever you got, you can lose it tomorrow if you don't make sure that it belongs to the Lord. And when he gives you something, you better be thankful for it. You better thank him for it. And understand that it is truly because he's allowed you to have it. Be thankful for it. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatsoever you will, and it shall be done unto you. All right, Larry, let's finish up. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so shall you be my disciples. What is all this about? It's simply about we are to bear fruit in the lifestyle in which we live because Jesus is glorified. God is glorified. And that should be the number one reason why we live a Christian life, is to understand it's all about how I present Jesus. How do I do that? How do I carry myself? What do I do? And believe me, when I don't, I know it. You know how I told somebody, someone said, how do you know you're saved? I've been asked that. No, I don't know how many times I've been asked. How do you know you're saved? And one day, it just come to me, and it's how I answer it. It's because when I do wrong, I know it. It's just about that simple. And believe me, I have given some answers over the last 40 years to the right Lord. That's really what it comes down to. If you can sin and it don't bother you, then I'd say you got an issue. But you know good and well, when you miss church, when you don't give like you should, when you don't use your talent like you should, and you go and do things, and you don't feel guilty about it, you're not under conviction about it, then you've got a problem. Now, it's not for me to say. I'm not the one that died for you. I don't go around and say you're lost and you're saved. They're not my business. Believe me, I've got enough to take care of my business. But I do know what God's Word says. So if we need to know whether we're saved or not, because you're not perfect, you're going to see it. When you do, you are saved. Father, forgive me. Make me a better person. Give me the strength that I need, that I can learn from my mistakes. Because see, a mistake is not a mistake if you learn from it. When you keep making that mistake over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, and you don't learn from it, then you got a big problem. You understand that? That's free. That's psychology 101. I'm not going to charge you for that. But understand, that is the gospel truth, because you're going to be wrong. But when you do, and you feel it, and you know it, and then you correct it. When you correct it, it's called getting things right with God. And once you do that, you feel better about yourself. Right?
Amen.
Huh? Give the Lord a hand of applause inside. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, as we go into our invitation time, Father, I pray that you'll be with each and every one. Father, most of all, if there be a person here, young or old, that has never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that Father, this be the moment, this be the day. And Father, no one's promised tomorrow. Believe me, today is the day of salvation. Father, watch over our little church and watch over this ministry. And I'm thankful for each and every one that is here. Bless us, Father, for we do feel your amazing grace in this place. In Jesus' name.